This week's Parsha is Parsha's Behar, and we'll start in the beginning of the Parsha, chapter 25, verse number 1. V'adabra Hashem el Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Behar Sinai, in Mount Sinai, Leimor saying, Daber Ebnei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people, V'marto Aleim, you should say to them, Kisavoyu Alohoretz, Asher Inoysan Lachem, when you are coming to the land that I will give you, V'shav Sa'oretz, Shabbos Lashem, and the earth should rest, a Shabbos to Hashem, a resting day to Hashem. Sheish shonim tizra sadecha, 6 years you should plant your field. V'sheish shonim tizmer karmecha, and 6 years you should prune your grapes. V'safta stvoso, you should gather all its crops. V'vashana ashris, in the 7th year, Shabbos Shabbos en yelorets, it should be a complete rest for the land. Shabbos Lashem, it will be a rest day for Hashem. Sotcho loisizra, your field you should not plant. Vekarmacho loisizmoir, and your vineyard you should not prune. Eisefiach katzircho loisikzor, the aftergrowth of your harvest you should not reap. Ves invenezirecho loisivzor, and the grapes you had set aside for yourself you should not pick. Shnas shabos and yilorets, it should be a year of complete rest for the land. Pasuk number 6 says, V'hoysel Shabbos Ha'oretz lochem la'ochlo, there'll be the Shabbos produce, meaning the sabbatical year produce will be for you to eat, l'cho, for you, l'avdecho, and for your servant, l'amosecho, for your maidservant, l'schircho, and for your laborer, l'seshovcho, agorim imoch, and the resident that dwells with you, v'lvehemtecho, v'lachayo, and for your animals and for the beasts, Asher Barzecho, that is in your land, Tiekos Vuoso Lechol, will be all your produce to eat. Meaning, this is the loss of the Shemitah, the sabbatical year, that when you come to the land of Israel, then the Shemitah will take effect, which means that 6 years you should work your field, and the 7th year you should leave your field fallow. There are a few questions that we are going to ask regarding this psukim. First, we are going to ask the order of the psukim seems to be erroneous, meaning that the pasuk says that as soon as we come into the land of Israel, then the Shav Sa'oret, Shabbos Hashem, the earth will rest a sabbatical to Hashem, a Shabbos to Hashem. And only afterwards it says that Sheish Shonim Tizra Sadecho, that 6 years you should plant your field, the Sheish Shonim Tizmer Karmecha, and 6 years you should prune your grapes and gather all its produce, and then in the 7th year will be a Shabbos Shabbos and Yil Ores, will be a complete day of rest for the land. Shabbos Lashem will be a Shabbos to Hashem. The question is the Shabbos to Hashem right when you come to the land, or is Shabbos Lashem only after 6 years? Meaning that after 6 years that we planted, and the 7th year we leave it fallow, that is the Shabbos Hashem. But the pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says that as soon as you come in to the land, the Shav Sa'oretz, Shabbos Hashem, the earth will rest a Shabbos to Hashem. And if you want to answer this question by saying that the Torah is giving me a general title for the mitzvah that you are going to do when you're coming in to the land, and that is going to be Shabbos Hashem, and then the Torah continues to explain the details of the mitzvah, Shabbos Lashem, of the sabbatical year to Hashem, then we have a question that the Torah should not have repeated in Pasuk number 4, the words Shabbos Lashem, that this is Shabbos Lashem, because the Torah is already explaining what does Shabbos Lashem means, that 6 years you should plant, and in Pasuk number 4, the 7th year, you should make a complete rest to the land. Then why does the Torah have to say again, on Pasuk number 4, that Shabbos Lashem, that it should be a complete rest day to Hashem. A second question we are going to ask is the Torah's use of the word V'shav Sa'aretz Shabbos Lashem, that the earth should rest a Shabbos to Hashem. The word V'shav Sa'aretz could have two meanings. It could mean past tense, V'shav Sa'aretz, that the earth rested a Shabbos to Hashem, a Shabbos to Hashem, or it could mean a future tense word, meaning Veshavso, that the Vav of Veshavso will change the past to the future. It's the Vav Hofech, the Vav that changes the tense of the verb from past to future. Then the question is, why does the Torah have to use such a verb where we have a doubt where it means the past in the future, when the Torah could have just used Tishbo Yisrael Aretz, Shabbos Hashem, the earth shall rest, as Shabbos to Hashem. Like that, everybody will understand that the verb is meant for the future. What is the message that the Torah is trying to convey to us by using specifically a future imperfect word, where it could be interpreted as a past tense word instead of a plain future tense word? Rashi on Pasuk number 2, where the Pasuk says, "V'shavso oretz Shabbos Hashem," and the earth should rest as Shabbos to Hashem, Rashi says, what does it mean, Shabbos Hashem? Rashi says, L'shem Hashem, for the sake of Hashem. Meaning, don't think that Hashem is the one resting. It means that we should rest for the sake of Hashem. Rashi continues, K'shem shenemar b'Shabbos Bereshis. Just as it said in regards to Shabbos Bereshis, Shabbos of creation, meaning that we are discussing the weekly Shabbos. The Mizrahi explains that in the same way, when we rest in the weekly Shabbos, we commemorate Hashem's creation of the world, meaning that He created the world in 6 days, in the seventh day He rested. So too, when we'll rest in the seventh year, we'll commemorate Hashem's creation of the world. This is how the Mizrahi explains the words of Rashi, K'shem shenemar b'Shabbos Bereshis, as it was written in Shabbos Bereshis, Shabbos of creation. But we will try to give different answers to Rashi's words. To answer these questions, we are going to bring the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis 61b, where there the Gemara is analyzing the pasuk of the Shema that we say, "V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha," you should love Hashem your God, "b'chol levavcha," if all your heart, "u'v'chol nafshecha," and with all your soul. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, "b'chol nafshecha," what does it mean, you should love Hashem with all your soul? "Afilu noiteles nafshecha," even if they take out your soul, if they want you to die, nonetheless, you should love Hashem and you should be willing to die for the sake of Hashem. The Gemara brings a story to prove this point. The Gemara says that once the Romans made a decree that people should not learn Torah, and Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah, and Rabbi Akiva was caught and he was put in jail. And now we'll pick up the Gemara in the middle. The Gemara says, "Beshah shoytzios Rabbi Akiva lariga," when they were taking out Rabbi Akiva to be killed, "zman krishma ayo," it was the time to recite Shema. "Vayusorkin es besuroi," and they were combing his flesh, "bemasoko shabazel," with combs of steel. And "vayomekabel olav oil malchus shemaim," Rabbi Akiva was accepting on him the yoke of heaven, meaning he was about to recite the Shema. "Amiloi tamudav," the students tell Rabbi Akiva, "Rabbeinu, our rabbi, at kan," up to this point, meaning how can you concentrate in the Shema when they are combing your flesh? The simple interpretation is that how can you recite Shema while you're enduring such great pains? "Amalohem," then Rabbi Akiva tells his students, "Kol yomai, all my life, uisim istar al pasuk zeh," I was always troubled by this pasuk. It says, "Bechol nafshecha," with all your soul, "afilu noitel es shmascha," even if somebody is about to take your neshama, your soul, you still require to love Hashem. "Amarti," and I always said, "Masa yavoi leyadi," when is this mitzvah going to come to my hand? "Vakaimeno," and I'll be able to fulfill it. "Ve'achshov," and now, "sheba leyadi," that this mitzvah came to my hand, "lo yakaimeno," I won't fulfill it. The Gemara says, "Ayomarich be'echot," he was stretching out the word echot, meaning, "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad," "at sheyotso nishmasa be'echot," until his soul departed by the word echot. "Yotso baskol," a heavenly voice came out, but Omro says, "Ashrecho Rabbi Akiva," praise are you Rabbi Akiva, "sheyotso nishmascha be'echot," that your soul went out while you said the word echot. The Eitz Yosef is bothered by the language that the students said, "at kan," meaning up to this point. How can they ask Rabbi Akiva when he's mekabel malchus shamayim, when he's getting ready to accept the yoke of heaven, if you have to go to this point? Clearly Rabbi Akiva says, "Bechol nafshecha, afilu hi noiteles nafshecha," even if somebody takes away your soul, you require to love Hashem. Then obviously Rabbi Akiva was going to do that, because they already knew that Rabbi Akiva said, "Bechol nafshecha, afilu hu noiteles nafshecha." Then what are they asking Rabbi Akiva? Therefore, the Eitz Yosef explains that the question was completely different, meaning that the students, by seeing the great dveikus, the great cleaving that Rabbi Akiva has with Hashem, that he is getting ready to recite Shema, and it doesn't seem like he's feeling any pain from the huge yisurim, from the huge pains that they are causing by combing his flesh, the students got jealous, and the students asked Rabbi Akiva, At Khan, how do we get to this point? Meaning, how do we get to love Hashem, that even when somebody is causing you so much pain, you are able to concentrate in the Shema and seemingly not feel the pain at all? On that, Rabbi Akiva answered, Kol Yomai, all my life, Oisim Mitztaer al HaPasuk Zeh, I was pained on this Pasuk. Uvechol Nafshecha, in all your soul, Afilu Unoiteles Shmascha, even if they take away your soul, you should still love Hashem. Meaning, that not only was he saying the words, he was actually pained by these words. He felt the pain as somebody would take away his soul every time he recited the Shema. V'amarti, and I said, Mosa yovel leyadi v'akaymenu, when is this going to come to my hands and I'll be able to do? Therefore, I felt the physical pain every time I recite the Shema. V'achshav shebo leyadi, and now that I have a chance to actually do it, v'akaymenu, I won't fulfill it. Meaning, the reason that I don't feel pain is because I'm already immune to the pain. Since every time I recite the Shema, I visualized this pain and felt this pain physically. V'achshav shebo leyadi, and now that the pain came physically on me, lo yakaymenu, I won't be able to fulfill it. Clearly, I could fulfill now, since I'm already used to it. Therefore, I don't feel the pain so much. Since when I recited Shema, I always felt this pain, now that the pain actually is here, it doesn't bother me so much. I'm able to concentrate and I'm able to recite the Shema with the proper kavana. That's why you don't perceive me having such pain. But true, if all of a sudden you are faced with a pain like that, without properly preparing for it, then you won't be able to recite the Shema properly. But if you prepare yourself all your life and feel the pain and visualize as you're dying Al Kiddush Hashem, as you're dying for the sanctification of Hashem's name, and also visualize the pain, then when the pain comes to you, you are able to handle it, and you'll be able to concentrate properly on the Shema, on accepting the yoke of heaven. And they explain also that this is the meaning of what Gemara writes down in Brochus, Daf Samach Amud Beis 60b, where the Gemara there says, V'chentonu mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, we also learned the name of Rabbi Akiva, Le'olam ye Adam Rogil Loimar, a person should always get used to saying, Kol de Ovid Rachmona, everything that Hashem does, Letav Ovid does for the good. It doesn't say that Yehei Adam Rogil Loimar, a person should get used to saying that everything that Hashem does is for the good. It says, Le'olam, always a person should say that everything that Hashem does is for the good. And the Gemara brings a story, Ki had Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Akiva was once going in the road, and he came to that town, he asked for lodging, they wouldn't give it to him, and he said, everything that Hashem does is for the good, and he decided to lie in the desert, in the middle of the wilderness. And he had with him a rooster, he had with him a donkey, and he had with him a candle. The Gemara says that the wind came and blew out the candle, and Rabbi Akiva still said, everything that Hashem does is for the good. Then the wildcat came and ate the rooster, and Rabbi Akiva still said, everything Hashem does is for the good. And then a lion came and ate the donkey, and Rabbi Akiva still said that everything Hashem does is for the good. That very night, an army came and captured the whole city. Amar Lehu, Rabbi Akiva told the people around him, didn't I tell you that everything Hashem does is for the good? Because had the lamp been lit, then the soldiers would have discovered them, or had the donkey brayed or the rooster crowed, then they would have heard the noise and they would come to capture him. The fact that the lion ate the donkey and the wildcat ate the rooster and the wind blew out the candle, that afforded Rabbi Akiva safety, And therefore Rabbi Akiva was right in saying that everything Hashem does is for the good. The Eitz Yosef explains that Rabbi Akiva had the power to say everything Hashem does for the good from the fact that Le'olam Yei Adam Ragi Loimar, everything that Hashem does for the good. Because Rabbi Akiva used to always say that everything Hashem does is for the good, even when he wasn't confronted with bad things. Meaning that if you only say everything Hashem does is for the good when you are confronted with bad situations, then you are giving lip service to that statement. Meaning, you really feel that Hashem punished you, that Hashem made you suffer, but since you know it's not proper to blame Hashem, therefore you are giving lip service and you are saying that everything Hashem does for the good, but really, deep down, it hurts you that Hashem did this to you. But if you always are used to saying that everything Hashem does is for the good, then when you are confronted with this situation, you are able to actually say that everything Hashem does is for the good and mean it. If you only say it when bad things happen, then we know that you really don't mean it. You're just giving it lip service. But when you say it all the time, then even when bad things happen and you say it, then we know that you mean it. So the fact that you always strain yourself by saying that everything that Hashem does is for the good, that will help you in bad situations. And that's what's meant, le'olam, forever. Not only when bad things happen, you should always say everything Hashem does is for the good. Sefer Shemen Rosh says that according to what we just said, we could understand the meaning of the Rashi that it says, v'shavsa oretz, Shabbos l'Hashem, that earth should rest as Shabbos to Hashem. And Rashi says, k'moy shenemar b'Shabbos Bereishis, in the way it was written in Shabbos Bereishis, meaning the weekly Shabbos. Sefer Shemen Rosh explains, based on the Medrash Rabbah, on Vayikra, Parsha Aleph, Simen Aleph, where there the Medrash Rabbah is analyzing the Pasuk on Tehillim, Psalms, chapter 103, verse number 20, where the Pasuk says, Baruch Hu Hashem Alochav, bless Hashem, His angels, Giboy Rekoach, those who are strong with might, Oise Devaroi, those who do His word, Lishmoya Bekol Devaroi, meaning to listen to the word of Hashem. And the Medrash says, Omar Rabitzchak says, Beshoim Reshviz Akosim Adaber, that this Pasuk is referring to somebody who keeps the sabbatical year, keeps the Shemitah, and he explains, Benoik Shebo Oilam, normally in the world, Adam Oise Mitzvah Layoim Echot, you find a person that will do a mitzvah for one day, the Shabbos Echot for 1 week, and even you could find sometimes people who make a mitzvah L'Chodesh Echot for 1 month, But can you find a person that does a mitzvah for the whole days of the year? When he see his portion fellow, his vineyard fellow, and he pays the tax to the king, the shasik, and he'll be quiet? Meaning, can we find a person that is quiet when he sees his property desolate? And also, the Medrash Tanchuma explains, why is he called Gibore Koach? Because he sees his property ownerless, that other people are walking in his property, and he sees his trees being used by other people, and he sees everybody enjoying his property that he worked so hard during the 6 years, and he controls his natural inclination, and he doesn't speak a word. Such a person is definitely considered a gibor, a strong man, because we know from the Gemara in Yuma, Dav Samach Tes Amid Beis 69b, where the Gemara there is discussing the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah, the people of the Great Assembly, and the Gemara says, why are they called the people of the Great Assembly? And the Gemara answers, because Shechziru Atara LaYoshna, they were able to restore the crown of Hashem's glory to its original luster. The Gemara explains, Moshe Rabbeinu came and said on Devarim chapter 10, verse number 17, Hokel Hagadol Hagibor Vanera, Hashem, the great, the powerful, and the awesome Hashem. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu praised Hashem by these three adjectives. Came Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu saw that the Gentiles, Goyim, are destroying the sanctuary. Yirmiyahu said, where is the awesomeness of Hashem? Therefore, Yirmiyahu on chapter 32, verse 18, says, Hokel HaGadol HaGiboy, Hashem, the great and powerful, but he doesn't say awesome, because Hashem is not so awesome, since he allows the Gentiles to come in to the Beis HaMikdash and destroy it. Came Daniel, and Daniel saw that strangers are subjugating Hashem's children, meaning Gentiles are subjugating the Jewish people. Then Daniel says, where is Hashem's strength? Where is his power? Therefore, Daniel, on chapter 9, verse number 4, says, Okel HaGadol Vanora, Hashem, the great and awesome, and he doesn't say Gibor, he doesn't say his strength. Came the Anshe Knesset HaGadola, the people of the great assembly, said quite opposite. This is exactly Hashem's strength, Hashem's power, because Hashem is able to see people subjugating his children and is able to control himself and not act and wait and lengthen his anger. So we see when somebody controls himself, that is considered Gibor. And here too, since this person who keeps the sabbatical year is controlling himself when he sees other people going in his property, other people taking his fruit, other people destroying his field, and yet he stays quiet because Hashem said so, then he is considered a Gibor, he is considered a very strong person. Sefer Shemeroish now asks, where does a Jew get this strength, and this bitachon, this trust, and this emunah, and this belief that Hashem will provide for him on the sabbatical year, that he is able to leave his field totally fallow, totally empty, and he allows other people to take his fruits and his produce, even though he has nothing of his own to eat? How does a Jew get this strength and this bitachon? He answers, the answer is in the pasuk, V'shav sa'aretz Shabbos Hashem, that the earth will rest like a Shabbos to Hashem. Rashi says, K'moy shenemar b'Shabbos bereishis, like the Shabbos day, meaning the Shabbos that we keep every week, that we work 6 days, and the seventh day we don't work. And in the seventh day, we believe that Hashem will not diminish our parnasa for not working, our livelihood for not working, that Hashem will give us just as much. And quite opposite, the Zohar says that all the food of the next week comes from the strength of the Shabbat, meaning that everything is blessed because of the Shabbat. How does a Jew get the strength to keep the sabbatical year? The answer is, V'shav sa'aretz Shabbos Hashem. The fact that you keep Shabbos until now, and you will keep Shabbos in the future, that will give you the strength that you'll be able to keep your land fallow in the sabbatical year. In the same way that Rabbi Akiva said, that because he always visualized and he always felt the pain when he said the Shema, like somebody's taking his soul, that made it easy for him when it actually happened to actually concentrate on the Shema and not feel the pain. And in the same way that we mentioned that Rabbi Akiva said that you always have to get used to saying Gamzu Letoiva, like that when something bad happens, it's automatic and you will actually mean Gamzu Letoiva, that this is also for the good. So too, the fact that you keep Shabbos every week, that is a training, that is a habit forming, that you'll be able now to keep the sabbatical year. In the same way that on Shabbos day you do not work and you have complete trust on Hashem, your training will give you the strength that you'll be able to keep the sabbatical year. And therefore he says, the pasuk says, V'shav sa'aretz, in a future, and could also mean the past, because since it's meant Shabbos Lashem, real Shabbos, not the sabbatical year, the sabbatical day, like Shabbos Bereishis, like the Shabbos on Bereishis, which means the seventh day of creation, which means that we have to keep Shabbos because of that, that will give you strength, that Sheishonim Tizra Sadecha, that you'll be able to plant 6 years your field. In the sabbatical year, you'll keep the field fallow, and it will be then a Shabbos Lashem, a complete rest day for Hashem. Meaning, the first V'shav Sa'aretz Shabbos Lashem is not talking about the sabbatical year, it's talking about the Shabbos day. And therefore it's written on a future imperfect, because it's not only meant to be the future, it's also meant to be the past, because you have been keeping Shabbos in the desert, and the fact that you continue to keep Shabbos, that will give you the strength and the belief and the trust that Hashem will provide you for the sabbatical year. And therefore, 6 years you should work, and 7th year you should remain fellow, and in the 7th year will be Shabbos Lashem, will be a sabbatical year for Hashem. So the first Shabbos Lashem is referring to Shabbos Bereishis, the Shabbos of the week that comes every 7th day. And the second Shabbos Lashem is referring to the sabbatical year, which will be a rest day for Hashem. Sefer Shemen Roish gives another answer based on the Gemara in Chulin Dav Samach Omed Beis 60b. There the Gemara says, Rav Asa Rame, Rav Asa asks a contradiction. Meaning there is two psukim that seemingly contradict each other. The first pasuk is in Bereishis chapter 1 verse number 12, where there Hashem asks for the earth to bring forth vegetation and bring forth trees. And the pasuk says, Vatoitze Oretz Deshe, that the earth brought forth vegetation, Esef Mazria Zera Lemineu, herbage yielding seed after its kind. So we see clearly that the earth already brought forth vegetation and seeds. And right afterwards it says, Vayere Vayvoker, and there was night, there was day, Yom Shlishi, the 3rd day. So we see clearly that this all happened during the 3rd day. And yet, on Bereishis, chapter 2, verse number 5, it's written there, V'chol siach ha-sodeh terem iyeh ba'aretz, that all the trees of the field were not yet in the land, V'chol esev ha-sodeh terem itzmach, and all the herbs of the field were not yet sprouting, ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim ala'aretz, because Hashem did not bring yet rain on the land, V'odom ayin, and man is not here yet, lavoit es hadama, to work the land. Which means that before man was created, the earth did not sprout yet. Nothing grew. And we know that man was created on the 6th day. Then we have a contradiction, because in the 3rd day it says that the earth already brought forth its vegetation. And yet, on the 6th day, when man is created, the pasuk says that until man came, the earth did not give its vegetation. So what is it? Did the earth give its vegetation, or it did not give its vegetation? The Gemara says, Melamed sheyotzu deshoim v'omdu al pesach karka. For may you learn that vegetation came up to the mouth of the land, meaning it came up to the ground level, at sheba Adam Arishon, until Adam Arishon came on the 6th day, uvikesh aleihu rachmim, and he prayed on them, v'yordu geshamim, and rains came down, v'tzomchu, and then it grew. Meaning both statements are true. On the 3rd day, the earth sprouted in the underground, but it did not break ground until the 6th day, when Adam HaRishon came and prayed. The Gemara continues, l'lamdoch, to teach you, shakodesh baruch hu, mis'ave l'tfiloson shel tzadikim, that Hashem desires the prayer of righteous people. Sefer Shemen Roish asks a question that in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Hey, Simen Zion, there the Medrash says, Lamo Nikro Shmo Eretz, why is the earth called Eretz? The Medrash answers, Sheratetzo Lasois Retzoin Koina, that the earth ran to make the will of Hashem. That's why it's called Eretz, from the word Ratz, running. Then Sefer Shemen Roish asks, if that is true, why did the earth stop sending the growths, the herbage, at the portal of the ground, meaning just below the ground level? Why didn't the earth allow the herbage to grow all the way? Because obviously, since Hashem wanted growth to be on the face of the earth, that should be Retzoin Koina, that is the will of Hashem, then the earth should have sent the growth all the way up in order to run and make the will of Hashem. In truth, even though Sefer Shemen Roish asked this question, I don't think this question is as strong, because the Medrash doesn't say that the earth ran to do what Hashem requested. The Medrash says that the earth ran to do the will of Hashem. And since the Gemara now says that the will of Hashem is that tzaddikim pray and then will grow. Therefore, the earth kept the herbage from reaching above ground and kept it on the ground because the earth knew what the will of Hashem is and it wanted to follow the will of Hashem even though it wasn't what Hashem commanded. The earth does what Hashem wills, and Hashem wills that righteous people pray because He desires the prayer of the righteous. Therefore, the earth, knowing that, the earth kept the herbage on the ground. But nonetheless, Sefer Shemeroish brings an answer from Sefer Nachas Ben Yomin, which is also brought down by Sefer Mayono Shel Torah. Sefer Nachas Ben Yomin brings the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, Parsha Ches, Simen Beis, where the Medrash there says that the Torah came 2,000 years before the world was created. And the Medrash Rabbah brings the Apostle in Mishle to that effect. According to the opinion that man was created on Rosh Hashanah, that comes out that the world was created the 25th of Elul, which is 6 days before Rosh Hashanah. Then comes out that man was year number one. That means that that is really year 2001. And we know that we have a jubilee year every 50 years, meaning we have cycles of 7 times 7, which is 49, and then we have the jubilee year, the Yovel, which is the 50th year. According to this comes out that we take 2,000 years and divide it by 50, we end up having exactly 40, which comes out that the year before man was created was a jubilee year, because a jubilee year goes from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And we know, according to Torah, during a jubilee year, you're not allowed to work the field and you're not allowed to make things grow. According to this comes out that when Hashem commanded the earth to give forth its herbage in the third day, that was the 28th of Elul, which was during a jubilee year. And therefore, says Sefer Nachas Ben Yomin, the earth decided that it won't bring forth above the ground the herbage in order not to transgress the jubilee year. The earth kept the herbage on the ground until Adam HaRishon was created. Once Adam HaRishon was created in Rosh Hashanah, then it's already not the jubilee year anymore. It's year one of the next cycle. Then the earth decided that it could now make things grow above the ground, because now there is no more transgression of the jubilee year. According to this comes out that the earth actually wanted to do the will of Hashem, meaning that he wanted to do what Hashem wrote in the Torah, since the Torah was already in existence, that during the sabbatical year you're not allowed to work, and therefore the earth didn't give herbage above ground until after the sabbatical year is over, after Adam HaRishon was created on the 1st of Tishrei. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, we understand the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph 33a, where the Gemara there brings Baraisis, which tells the consequences of sins. The Gemara first says, Bavoin Shvichas Domin, for the sin of murder, Beis HaMikdash Chorev, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Ushchina Mistalekes B'Yisrael, and Hashem's presence departs from Israel. Then the Baraisa continues and says, Bavoin Gilu Aroyos, because of the sin of forbidden sexual relations, Bavoin Shkachovim, and idolatry, Vashmata Shmitin V'Yoivlois, and the cessation of the observance of the sabbatical year and the jubilee year, Galus Baloilom, exile comes to the world, Umagrin Oison, and invaders exile the inhabitants of the land, Uvoin Acherim, and other people come, Vayoishvim Bimkoimom, and settle in the land. Meaning that because of the sin of immorality, idolatry, and the fact that we don't keep the jubilee year and the sabbatical year, Hashem exiles us from the land. And the Gemara brings a proof from a pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai, chapter 24, verse number 34, where we are talking about the toichacha, the admonitions, if we do not keep the Torah. There it says, "Os tirtze ores hashem shoseya," then after we are exiled, the land will appease its sabbaticals, kol yemei hashama, all the years of his desolation, ve'atem be'eretz ve'vechem, while you are in the land of your enemies, os tishbasa oretz, then the land will rest, v'tirtzas eshapseseya, and will appease its sabbatical. So you see that if you don't keep the sabbatical year, Hashem exiles you from the land. And all the Mefarshim are trying to give explanations why, if you don't keep the sabbatical year and the jubilee year, you are punished so harshly that you are exiled from the land. We have a lot of mitzvahs that we have to keep, and yet if we do not keep them, we are not exiled for the land, we are punished just for not doing that mitzvah. But here, if you don't keep the sabbatical year and the jubilee year, you are punished so harshly that you are exiled from the land. We are in the same category as one who committed immorality and one who committed idolatry. And the question is, why do we deserve such harsh punishment if we do not keep the sabbatical year and the jubilee year? And Sefer Shemen Roish answers based on this Nachlas Binyamin. Meaning, since we mentioned that according to the Nachlas Binyamin, the reason why the earth did not give forth its sprouts until Adam was created, until Rosh Hashanah, was because the earth wanted to keep the Shemitahs and the Yovel, the sabbatical years and the jubilee year, and the year when Hashem told her that she should bring forth its sprouts happened to be a jubilee year, and the earth did not want to transgress that jubilee year, comes out that the earth wanted to teach us the lesson that we are required to keep the jubilee year and the sabbatical years. Therefore, when you choose not to maintain and not to keep the sabbatical year and the jubilee year, the earth itself comes and extracts justice from you. Meaning, when the earth sees that the Jewish people are not keeping the sabbatical and the jubilee years, then the earth itself gets upset at them, and the earth itself spits the Jewish people out, because the earth tried to teach you the lesson of the sabbatical year and the jubilee year, and you didn't want to listen to the earth, therefore the earth spits you out from the land. Not because it's such a harsh crime, like immorality or idolatry. The reason is because this sin is directly related to what the earth wanted to teach you. When you don't want to listen to the earth, then the earth says, get out from on top of me, and the earth kicks you out of Eretz Israel. And according to this, Sefer Shemen Roish says, we could also understand the pasuk at the end of Teuchecha on chapter 26, verse number 42, where according to the Shla, this is also part of the admonition, and we understand now the end of the pasuk, meaning that the pasuk writes down, V'zachartes brisi Yaakov, I'll remember my covenant of Yaakov, V'af es brisi Yitzchak, and also my covenant of Yitzchak, V'af es brisi Avraham, and also my covenant of Avraham, V'oretz eskor, and the land I'll remember. And the Shlo explains that this is not consolation yet, this is part of that admonition, meaning that I'll remember from what good stock you come, that you come from Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham, and yet you chose not to learn from them, and therefore I'll punish you even harsher. And we don't understand normally what is meant by Va'aretz Eskor, I'll remember the land, but according to what we just said, it means Va'aretz Eskor, and I'll remember what the earth did for you, that the earth taught you the halachas of jubilee year and the sabbatical year, and you didn't want to listen, therefore I'll punish you even harsher. So now the word Va'aretz Eskor is also part of the admonition, because Hashem will remember what the earth did during creation, that the earth tried to teach you the lesson to keep the jubilee year and the sabbatical year, and you didn't want to learn, therefore your punishment is going to be even harsher, because you should have learned from the earth itself. And according to this, says Sefer Shemen Roish, now we could answer all the questions that we had in the pasuk in our parsha. We first asked, why is it written a future imperfect, the Shav Seores, and the earth should rest a Shabbos Hashem? It should have written Tishboi Seores, Shabbos Hashem, that the earth should rest a Shabbos Hashem. And then we asked, why does the Torah first say that as soon as we come into the land, we should keep Shabbos Hashem, and only afterwards the Torah says that 6 years we should work, and the seventh year leave the land fallow, that it should be a Shabbos Hashem? How can we have, as soon as we come in, a Shabbos to Hashem, if that only happens after 6 years of working? Meaning, that we first work for 6 years and then we have a Shabbos Lashem. But we don't first have a Shabbos Lashem and then work for 6 years. And then we asked, why is the Torah writing down two times that should keep Shabbos Lashem, that will be a Rezei to Hashem? Because in Pasuk number 2, it says, V'shav so'oretz Shabbos Hashem, that the earth should rest a Shabbos to Hashem. And then in Pasuk number 4 says, U'vashon ha'shviz, in the 7th year, Shabbos Shabbos in the Oretz, it will be a day for rest for the land. Shabbos Lashem, a Shabbos to Hashem. Why does the Torah have to write down two times that it's going to be a Shabbos Hashem? And then we ask, what does Rashi mean by saying, Kamoisha Nemar, Beshabbos Bereshis, like it was written in the Shabbos on the first week of Bereshis. What does Rashi mean by that? And the answer is that really this Pasuk is not meant as a future tense, it's meant as a past tense, meaning that Hashem said, Daber Bnei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people, Omar to Aleihem, you should say to them, Kisavoyu al Oretz, when you come into the land, Asherni noiseluchem, that I'm giving you, v'shav sa'oretz Shabbos Hashem. You should remember that the earth rested in the past tense as Shabbos Hashem. That the earth, during creation, the earth had rested already as Shabbos Hashem. Learn this lesson well. Therefore, sheish shonim tizra sadecho, when you come into the land, you should plant for 6 years, and then the 7th year remain fallow, and then it will be again Shabbos Hashem, a Shabbos Hashem. So the first Shabbos Hashem is referring to what the earth did. Therefore, it's written v'shavsa, not as we translate it, that you should rest a Shabbos Hashem. It actually says v'shavsa'oretz, and the earth already had rested a Shabbos Hashem, a Shabbos Hashem. As we mentioned, that the earth kept the Jubilee year. Therefore, the earth wouldn't bring forth its growth until after the Jubilee year was over, until the next year started. So we see that the earth already kept Shabbos to Hashem. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people that they should do the same. That 6 years they should work, and the 7th year they should rest, and then it'll be Shabbos to Hashem. So it's not redundant, because the first Shabbos to Hashem is referring to what the earth did during creation. And the second Shabbos to Hashem says that if you keep the sabbatical year from now on, you again make a Shabbos Hashem, a sabbatical year for Hashem. And also now we could understand what Rashi means to say, because Rashi wants to say that this is referring to the past. Therefore Rashi says, K'moshe Nemar b'Shabbos Bereshis, that this Pasuk, the first Pasuk, v'shav so'oretz Shabbos Hashem, is referring to what happened in the first week in Bereshis. There we see that the earth kept the sabbatical year and the Jubilee year, because it would not work on the 50th year. Therefore, you should make sure that you keep the sabbatical year in the future, because the earth had kept it during creation. And Hashem Yisburah should help that now that we kept the last sabbatical year, that we should merit to have Mashiach come. He should gather all the exiles. We'll have the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt. Bimheira Bayomeinu. Amen.